Okay, we're going to start at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet. Yesterday we discussed in the Mishnah certain institutions that were Nitbatel, and one of them here is the one at the bottom here is Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hevir Hodayat Maser. He canceled out the Vidui Maaser. The question is, my time, why did he eliminate Vidui Maaser? Because we do not give ma'asrot properly. So what does that mean? We don't give ma'asrot properly. Ma'aser rishon belongs to the levim. Va'anan kayavin on the kohanim, and we give it to the kohanim instead, which is the knas that Ezra imposed. And Rashi is going like we had a machlokus in the Gemara in Yevamos as to why we give ma'aser rishon to the levim or to the kohanim instead of the levim. Right. So one possibility, I think, is Rabbi Akiva's position over there, is that the Kohanim are called Levi'im in 24 places. So the Mi'ikar Adin, one can give it to the Kohen because he is also a Levi. The other opinion over there was that it was a Knas imposed by Ezra because the Kohanim did not, the Levi'im did not come up in the Biyah Shniyah when they came up to build the second base of Migdash, and therefore he awarded the Master Rishon to the Kohanim instead of the Levi'im. So based on that, it's clear that the Gemara here is going according to that opinion, that it was done improperly, meaning that they were giving it to the Kohanim as a knas, but not mi'ikar hadin. So the Gemara says, v'lo de'ashar ma'asrot. Okay, fine, so you can't say vidui ma'aser on ma'aser rishon, because we're not giving ma'aser rishon properly, but there's ma'aser sheni and ma'aser ani. Why not say vidui ma'aser for all the other ma'asrot? So Amar Reish Lakish, ko bayit shein mitvade al ma'aser rishon, shuven mitvade al shar ma'asrot. If you don't do vidui ma'aser for ma'aser rishon, you don't continue with the other ma'asrot. My time up. What's the reasoning for that? I'm a rabbi. Ho potach po akatav tchila. All right. So the pasuk begins discussing with ma'aser rishon. Meaning ma'aser rishon is the first thing enumerated in the pasuk when you do the vidui ma'aser, and then afterwards it says, right, lager, which is ma'aser ani, and then to Bish Arecha, which is the Ma'aser Sheni. So the Ikar part of the Vidui, or the Ikar part of the Pasuk, deals with Ma'aser Rishon. So if you're not going to see Vidui Ma'aser for Ma'aser Rishon, then it would be improper or inappropriate to say it for Ma'aser Ani and Ma'aser Sheni. Michlau, Da'afrushe have a Mefrashe. Right? Mefrashe, that they did separate out Ma'asrot. That's what it sounds like from here. It sounds like from this Gemara that they were mafrish ma'asrot. They just gave it improperly. They gave it to the Kohen instead of to the Levi. V'hatanya, don't we have a brisa? Af hu bitel, talking about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, et avidui, he eliminated the vidui, v'gazar ala demai. And it was gozar ala demai. What does it mean it was gozar ala demai? Lefi, sheshalach b'chol gvul Yisrael, sent out, and he did a survey throughout Eretz Yisrael about Chumas and Maestros, and found out, v'ra, shem afrishim ala chuma gdola. They only took off chuma gdola, bilvad. That was the only thing they took off, and not Ma'aser Rishon or Ma'aser Sheni, Miktatan Masrim, Miktatan Ein Masrim. They were inconsistent in their mafrisho of their separations of Ma'asrot. So if the whole idea of being Mavatel, the Vidoi Ma'aser, had to do with the fact that they were giving Ma'aser Rishon, they were just giving it to the wrong person, from here it sounds like they weren't giving Ma'aser at all. So what's going on to him? So the Gemara is going to go into segue, just discuss what he did, Yochanan Kohen Gadol Institute, and then the Gemara will come back and give the answer. Amar Lahem Banai. Why were they separating out the Chuma Gdola? Aside from the fact that separating Chuma Gdola can be given from even the smallest amount, meaning in La Shi'ur, both the Malo and the Mato. So it's easy to separate Chuma Gdola, but why do they separate Chuma Gdola? Because it had a Avon Misa Bidei Shamayim. Since it had an Avon Misa Bidei Shamayim, they were afraid not to take off Chuma Gdola. So they took off the Chuma Gdola, and then they left everything else. So he explains to them, well, you're taking off Chuma Gdola because it has Avon Mita, Kach Chumat Maser, V'Tevel Yesh Ben Ovin Mita. Chumat Maser and Tevel also have a Avon Mita, Mita Bidei Shamayim. So if you are not Mafrish, Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, it's still Tevel. If you eat the Tevel, then that is, what? That would be Chayav Mita Bidei Shamayim. And even if you take off the Maser Rishon, you still need to take off the Chumas Maser from the Maser Rishon. So the Maser Rishon is still Tevel till you remove the Chumat Maser. So what do you do? Amad. Right. So it's a good question because it really all it has to say is Tevel, period. Because if you haven't separated out Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni, then it's Tevel. If you separate out Maaser Rishon and it still has Trumas Maaser in it, it's still Tevel, right? The Maaser Rishon is Tevel, the Trumas Maaser. So the problem is obviously eating anything that has not had the proper Matanot separated from it. So the truth is you only need a Tevel, the word Tevel. But I think they're indicating through Trumat Maaser is that there are two levels of Tevel. That even if you're Mafrish Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, even after being Mafrish Maaser Rishon, there's still a problem of Trumas Maaser that makes it Tevel as well. So there's two levels of Tevel that are problematic. The Tevel of the Masrot, and then the Tevel within Maaser Rishon itself, which needs the Trumas Maaser removed from it. So Amad v'hitkin lehem. So what did he institute? Halokeach perot me'ama aretz, mafrish mehen ma'aser rishon. That if you buy from an ama aretz, so the presumption is he took off Truma Gedola, then you will be automatically mafrish ma'aser rishon u'ma'aser sheni. Then from ma'aser rishon, mafrish mehen trumat ma'aser. Then you take off the trumas ma'aser mit, v'notna l'kohen, and you give it to the kohen. U'ma'aser sheni, ola, ole ve'ochlo b'Yerushalayim, he goes up to Yerushalayim and eats the ma'aser sheni. There it's his. Ma'aser rishon u'ma'aser ani, that he separates out, he takes them, he separates them so it won't be tevel anymore. But then it becomes a dinei memononos. I mean, that these matanot, there's no isser against the zar eating them, right? They're mamon hashevet. They belong to Levi or they belong to the aniyim. Therefore, they come under the category of general dinim of memononos, which is a mosi mechaver olav arayo. So then the Levi or the ani has to show up and give evidence that you really need it to be mafrish, maaser rishon or maaser ani, or the Levi has to prove that he's really a Levi to come and claim on behalf of the shevet. So therefore, his takana established, basically similar to what we do today, when we're mafrish trumas maasros, we are mafrish truma gedola also, but when we do it misafek, right, we take off a small amount for truma and trumas maaser, and then we separate, we designate the area for maaser rishon and maaser ani, and for maaser sheni, repode the maaser sheni, and then everything you eat, because the maaser sheni is now nifte on the coin, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani you can eat because it's not also the Zar. And the Trumas Maaser we wrap up and we throw away because we don't have any Kohanim today. We don't have a proper Tahor Kohanim to take care of the Trumas Maaser or the Maaser, or the Truma Gedola. But over here, he instituted that they have to give Trumas Maaser to the Kohanim. Now, why do you have to give Trumas Maaser to the Kohanim? What he could have done is sold it to the Kohanim. I mean, Eino Hanami can't eat it because the Zar can't eat Trumas Maaser, but he could have sold it cheap to the Kohen. Right, because the coin has to prove it's his, otherwise it belongs to the Baal. So the Rashi says over here, the reason he didn't do that is because Trumas Maaser has an Avol Misa with it. So we're afraid if you held on to it to sell it, that he might come to be Nichshol in it. He might come to eat it. As opposed to Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani, right? If they stick around, it's not a problem. It's mostly a Chaver Olayo. It's only Dinim Mamonos. It's only an Indian of Gezel, not an Indian of Avol Misa Bidei Shemayim. But he keeps around Trumas Maaser in order to sell it to the coin eventually. He could make a mistake and eat it. If he makes a mistake and eat it, we're dealing with an Avon Misa De Shemayim. So you see the takana was that Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani you kept. On the other hand, the Trumas Maaser you gave to the Kohen. So now the Gemara goes back to the original. What was the question? The question was, well, they were Mafrish Maaser Rishon properly, right? But they just didn't give it to the right person. So they gave it to the Kohen instead of the Levi, and that's why they couldn't save either Maaser. Over here we have this whole story with Yochanan Kohen Gadol after he did a survey of the land that they weren't even giving Maaser Rishon. So Gemara says, what's the answer? Gemara says that there's Tarte. There were Tikein. There were two Takanot. Bitul Vidoy the Chaverim. For the Chaverim, those that were Mafish Trumas and Maaseros, he was a Vatel the Vidoy because they were giving the Maaser Rishon inappropriately. And then secondarily, another Gezerah, or another Takana, was that for Ame Aretz, that they had to be mafrish demai, that they only assumed that they took off Truma Gedola, but not anything else. All right, now, the next thing it says is that Yochanan Kohen Gadol eliminated the Me'orim. So what were the Me'orim? My Me'orim? Amarachva b'chol yom v'yom shayu omdim levim al duchan. When the levim used to come into their duchan, v'omrim, ura, ura, right, ura lama tishan Hashem. Wake up Hashem, why are you sleeping? Now, my assumption from the continuation of the Gemara is that basically this was like a morning wake-up call for Hashem. The Levim started out like they were singing in the Mikdash. They said, you know, basically, wake up, you sleepy one Hashem. So Amalehem, V'chi yesheno lifnei makom. Does Hashem really sleep? Alo kvo nermar, hinei lo yanum, v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Right? Hashem never It never sleeps. So what do you mean, wake up, Hashem? Elo, so what's the meaning of the pasuk? What's the real meaning of the pasuk? El azman shiso shroim b'tzar. Vov de kochavim benachat v'shalva, when Bnei Yisrael are oppressed, and the other nations are on the upper hand, kach ne'mar, ura lamit yishan Hashem. It's seemingly like Hashem is asleep, meaning that Hashem is not dealing with Bnei Yisrael or treating Bnei Yisrael to their proper stature. So that means ura lam tishan Hashem is that Hashem should bring his hashkacha back, not that he sleeps at night. So the Nevi'im are inappropriately using it as a almost like an alarm clock for Hashem. And that's not the true meaning of the pasuk. The true meaning of the pasuk is about when Hashem is nistar, that we ask him to reappear or to make himself known again. The other thing that he was mevatel was the nukfim. So my nukfim, what are these nukfim? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sheyu misartim le'egel ben karnav. They used to cut between the horns of the calf on the head. This is a korban. When they were bringing a korban, they used to cut between the head. They should pull dam be'inav. So the blood, it would bleed a little bit, and that would fall into its eyes, and it would reduce the amount of resistance that the animal gave to the shechita. So ata iu batil, neshum demechse kimumo. They stopped this practice because it looked like they were putting a mum in the animal. Right? So that would be inappropriate for kodshim. Basnita tana shiu chuvtim oto maklot. Instead, not that they cut it, but they smacked it with sticks. They used to smash it with sticks in order, again, to reduce the resistance that the animal would give at the time of shechita. There shall seem oto lifnei ovdat kochavim, similar to what they did before idol worship. Amalem. Ad matay atem achilim nevelot to mizbeach. How long are you going to give nevelot to the mizbeach? So Gemara says, nevelot? Ashachilu. It's not a nevela. They do shechita afterwards. It's not a nevela. Ela trefot. What were they worried about? Shema nikav krum shomach. Because by smashing it on the head with a stick is a possibility that you would puncture, right, the film that sits on top of the brain, and that would make it into a trefa, and then it would be inappropriate, or the korban would be a trefa, and you could not bring it on the mizbeach, and you couldn't eat it either. So va'amad, so how did he solve the problem? Amad v'itkim lehem taba'ot pakarka, right? So this we've seen in other places, that they had rings that were put in the ground to help to hold the animal in place, to hold the neck of the animal in place. So their problem was the ease of which to shech the animal. The animal gave them resistance. So they were doing things that, to stop the resistance of the animal or to prevent the resistance of the animal. So he said they were inappropriate in what they were doing, either because looked like they're making a mum or because the possibility of making it into a trefa. So he went ahead and put in these rings that allowed them to secure the animal's head when they needed to shech it, and that made it easier to shech. So they didn't need all these patents to do it. All right, now it says, Ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim. Until his day, the hammer used to hit in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, over here, b'cholo sholmoed. This is in that was on Cholomoed. Rashi brings the Gemara, on the Mishnah, brings the Gemara from Moed Katan. That what? That on cholo sholmoed, that they used to do work, the menachim, or the blacksmiths used to do work with the hammers, b'dover aved, which was mutar. It was malacha that they had to do with Zavar Aved, but the problem was that the hammers made so much noise, right, that it made it sound like everybody was working, and people weren't clear. You could hear it all over the city, the banging, and people weren't sure if it was Zavar Aved or low Zavar Aved. So he was metatale. He said it was inappropriate. It made an environment that was not conducive to Cholomoe to have the work or the hammer on it. So Koyamav, next thing is, Koyamav lo ya adam tzarich lishol al demai. His whole life, nobody had to ask about demai, kid Amran. That's what we just said above. Not that there was no demai in his time, but he gave a solution. He gave the prescription what to do. Whenever you buy from an Amaretz, this is what you do. So he already told. So then you didn't have to ask another friend, oh, did you buy that from an Amaretz? Even if he bought it from Amaretz, we knew that he took off Chumas and Maestros, so everything was done again. Right now, the next Mishnah continues the same theme of the previous Mishnah, which is something ended, right? The end of certain eras. So Mishabad La Sanhedrin, Batala Shir. When the Sanhedrin stopped sitting, then Shir's song was cut out to me, Beit HaMishtaot, from the pubs. Shinemar b'shir lo yishtu yayin. In the song, they will not drink wine. We'll see that in a second. Gemara will discuss what the proof is. Mishametu nevi'im arishonim. When the first nevi'im passed away, batlu urim v'tumim. The urim v'tumim was eliminated. Mishara Beit HaMikdash, batel ashamir. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. There was no longer ishamir. The nofetzufim. Gemara will see what nofetzufim are. Apasku Anshei Amana, right? And the people Anshei Amana, Yisrael, were eliminated. What's Anshei Amana? So Rashi says, and the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of today's daf. Anshei Amana is Botchim BaKadosh Baruch Hu. They trust in Hashem. The Somchim Alav LaSotov. They rely on Him to do the right thing. Ve'ein do'agim l'chisaron. They have no worries about any losses or any problems. Meaning that they are true maminim ba'Hashem. Shenemar Hoshia Hashem ki gomar chasid. Save us Hashem, because there are no more chasidim, there are no more anshei amanah. Shem Gomli Omer, he'id Rabbi Yoshua, miyom shechara beit ha'mikdash, ein yom shein bo klala. There's no day when there is no curse. V'lo yirad atal livracha, and the tal no longer falls, the dew no longer falls libracha. V'nital tama peirot, and the flavor of the fruits has been taken. Rabbi Yosef Meraf nital shumana peirot, not only the flavor, but the fat or the juices of the peirot have gone. V'shem men alazor Omer, atara nitla et hareach. Right, that the Tara took away the smell, v'amasrot nitlu et ha-shuman, and take the elimination of the masrot, or not being taking mafish masrot, took away the shuman ha-dagan. Chamim omrim, haznut v'akshafim kilu et ha-kol. That's not the kshafim, wiped everything out. Now the Gemara says, well, from the posse that you brought in the Mishnah, umimai divshibotla sanhedre k'tiv. Right, so where does it say over here that they stopped singing in the Beit HaMishtaot, or when they were drinking wine? How do you know that has anything to do with the Sanhedrin? So Amar Ravuna Berei de Rav Yeshua Damar Kra, Zikeinim Mishar Shavtu, right? Bachurim Neginatam. So the Zikeinim, the elders, Mishar, so right, Shavtim Mishatim Titen Lecha B'chol Sharecha, right? So Sharecha is a reference to the Sanhedrin, right? So therefore, when the Zikeinim were no longer extant or in the gateways, Bachurim Neginatam, then so too the young ones were not singing anymore. There's the correlation between the singing and the Sanhedrin, and then the Mishnah says, well, where was that singing? Bishir lo yishtu yayin. That they won't sing in the place where they drink wine, meaning that in the Beit HaMishtaot. Amarav Udna, Deshama Zimra Te'akir. Udna, Deshama Zimra Te'akir. The ear that hears song should be eliminated or taken away. So, basically, because of the Churban HaBayit, that it was no longer appropriate that there be music. Amar Rova Zimra Bebeita Churva Beseifa. So that if there's song in the house, there is destruction at the threshold. Shenemar, because it says Kol Yishorer B'Chalon. The voice of song is heard in the window. Chorev Basaf. Destruction is at the threshold. Ki Arza Eira. Its cedar has been uprooted. So Gemara says My Arza Eira. What does it mean that the cedar was uprooted? So Amar Rav Yitzchak. And it says, V'chi bayit ha-mesuchach barazim irhu. I mean, if you're talking about cedar, that a house that is roofed with cedar, I mean, what's so difficult about it uprooting a house? It's not like it's a whole city. It's just one house. Of course you can uproot it. Ella, afilu bayit ha-mesuchach barazim. Even a house that is roofed with cedar, mitroa'a, that was, right, undermined or its foundations were shaken. Right, aru adi yisod ba. Right, and al narot balevel. So the word air means to undermine, to shake the foundation of. Amar Rav Ashi, shama mina ki matchil churva b'seifa matchil. That when destruction starts, it starts at the threshold. Shenemar cherev basaf. V'ibay seima mahoch. We can learn it out from a different pasuk that says in Ishai Ushiya, when there's desertion, when it's deserted, you cut shar. The gateways will be cut, meaning that the destruction, Rashi over here says, Lashon Bayit or Beit HaShaa, which means an empty house, Me'en Yoshev, Mitochach HaSi'irim, meaning the Shedim, Meraktim Sham, they dance there, Umigan Menagchim, and they gore, V'kotetim et Sharav, and they destroy its gates. So that the, here again, that the beginning of the destruction happens at the gateways. Amar Rav Ashi Lidzi Chazilei, I saw such a thing, Uminagach Kitorah. And they were goring like oxen. So Amar Avuna, Zimra, Denagde, Udbikare Shari. Certain types of songs are allowed. What are those songs? The songs of the Nagde. The Nagde are either the dock workers or those that pulled the boats along the rivers. And that they were singing in order to either coordinate their work or to encourage their work ethic. Udbikare are those that moved the oxen with the plow. That they guided the oxen for the plowing. Shari. The Gardai, those of the tailors, the song of the tailors is Asir, because that was all Kaus Rosh. That was just fun singing. It wasn't something that helped them to do their work or to Mchaveim Lachtan. Ravuna, Batil Zimra. Ravuna went ahead in his town and he's Mvatil song. He made a Gzera that there should be no longer any song in the houses and in the Beit Mishtot. Skam Mea Ivze Avze Bezuza. So because of the Bracha that came to the town, because he was Mvatil the Shira, At that point, they were able to buy 100 geese with one zuz, umeya sa chite and 100 sa chite bezuzah. That everything was plentiful. The food was so plentiful, it was cheap. Right? Below, it was so plentiful and so cheap, below you buy it, nobody needed it, because everything was nitzbarech. Ata Rav Chista zelzel beit. Rav Chista came to the town, it was mezalzel in the tekan of Rav Huna. And after he was mezalzel in the tekan of Rav Huna, you buy avza bezuzah. You could only find a goose for one zuz. Below mishtakach. And even at that price, you couldn't even find them. They were no longer available. I mean, the bracha went away. The Gemara seems to indicate from here that it was appropriate what Rav Huna had done to be mevatel the shir because of the churban ha-bayit. It's interesting. It's nice Gemara in front of the 3 weeks here. The idea that we really focus on the churban ha-bayit during the 3 weeks, but you see it both from here in the Gemara and Baba Basra, right? In the Baba Basra, that the churban ha-bayit is something that should envelop us our whole year. It should be a part of our life for understanding that we are missing something. We really place the focus during the 3 weeks to focus on it, but that doesn't mean that after we focus, then it should not be a part of our lives or understanding that we've lost something all year round. All right, Amar Rav Yosef. So this is about Kol B'Ish Erva. This is a part of the sugya of Kol B'Ish Erva. Zimre Gavre Ve'one Nashe. That if the men are singing and the women are responding, Pritzusa, that's Parutz. Zimrei nashe, but if the women are singing, v'ane gavri, and the men are responding, ke'ish b'nu eret, it's like fire, right, on sawdust. So, what does that mean? It's a very important Rashi over here. I'll read the Rashi to you. It's on the left side. Rashi, ke'ish b'nu eret. Ke'ish b'nu eret. Lefi, kish sha'oneh, mateos no lishma'a. The one who's responding, if you're not the leader, but the responder, you tip your ear to hear, etam izamer. The one who's singing, la'anot acharav, to answer after him. V'nimtzu'u ha'anashim notim libam l'kol anashim. They're paying special attention to the women who are singing. V'kol b'yisha erva, k'rechtiv ha'shmeni et kolech. Right, that's in the Gemara in Brachot. U'mav'ir et yitzro k'esh binu eret. And that lights up his yetzer, like fire with this fire and sawdust. Aval, zimrei gavrei, if the men are singing, v'ani anashe, and the women are responding, tzat pritzut yesh. There's a little bit of pritzut, the kol b'yish erva, because you have a problem of kol b'yish erva. Aval, enu mav'ir yitzro kol kach. Does not encourage or alight his yetzer, she'ena mezamrim matim oznam l'kol ha'onim. Because when you're the lead singer, you're not really listening to the respondents, because you are focused on the lead and not on the respondingness. It's very interesting that there are gradations in kol b'yish erva, right, that even though there's a general principle of Kol B'Ish Erva, there are actually gradations within Kol B'Ish Erva that how problematic this Kol B'Ish Erva is, whether it's Dam Kol B'Ish Erva, or is it something where there's an extra added Yetzer Hara when a person pays special attention to the women's singing, and especially when they're going to respond. So now the question is, my Nafkamino, they're both Asurim, what's Nafkamino? So that's what the Gemara says, Levitulei Hai Mikamiha. I mean that if you have a choice to eliminate one of them, I mean the people aren't going to listen to you to eliminate both. If you can eliminate one of them, right, then it's which one do you eliminate first? So if it comes to eliminate, you do the one where the women are leading and the men are responding. That's the proper one to eliminate rather than the men singing the lead and the women responding. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shote ba'arba minei zemer. So everybody who drinks with these four types of song, mevi chamesh praniyot olam, brings these five praniyot olam. Shnemar, hoy mashkimei boker sheichar yerdofu meachrei banefesh yain yadlikeim v'yakinor v'nevel tof v'chalil v'yain mishtehem v'etpol Hashem lo yabitu. So this is hoy mashkimei boker, those that get up in the morning, sheichar yerdofu, what is that? That they run after the liquor all day, meachrei. At night, they look for the wine. They're drunk, right? So these are the instruments, the four instruments. Kinor, v'nevel, right? A lyre and a harp. Tof, v'chalio, the drum and the flute. V'yayin mishtehem, right? And the wine of their parties. V'etpol Hashem lo yabitu, and they don't see the works of Hashem. Meaning that because of this, because of their actions, they are blind to that which Hashem is doing. Machtiv acharav, what's the result of that? So these are the arbe minei zemer. What happens when there's arbe minei zemer? There's chamesha minei praniot. What are they? Lachain gala ami. My nation will be put into exile. Mibli da'at. So without any knowledge. Shegormim galut yolam. First of all, they bring galut yolam. Uchvodo Uchvodo mitei ra'av. And they will suffer, right? The chvodo mitei ra'av, those that die by the famine, shmevin ra'av lo'olam, they bring famine to the world. V'hamono tzichei tzama, I'm sorry, tzama. And the multitudes will be parched parched in thirst. Shegormim l'torah shetistakech milom da, that they cause Torah to be forgotten from its learners, meaning the shtia or the drink here is Torah, right? And it says, Vayishach Adam, Vayishpal Ish. So Vayishach Adam means that the man is humbled, Vayishpal Ish. It's Vayishach. Yeah, Vayishach Adam, from the word Shocheh, probably, to bend over. So it's Vayishach Adam, Vayishpal Ish. And the man will be lowered or humbled. Shegormim Shvelut L'sono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They cause Shvelut to be pushed down or derided, the haters of Hashem. Obviously over here it's a Lashon Saginor, but it means Hashem. Hashem's presence in the world is Nitma'et Ayadezeh. Vein Ish Ala Kadosh Baruch Hu Shnemar Hashem Ish Malchama. So the Ish here, the reference is to Hashem. Ve'enei Gvohim Tishvalna. And that the eyes of those that are haughty or high-eyed, high-browed, Tishafano, you will drop down. Shegormim Shvelut Shel Yisrael. They cause Bnei Yisrael to be lowered, their stature to be lowered. Machtiv acharav. So these are the five things. Again, Rabbi Yochanan said, for the four types of shear that cause a person to ignore and not focus on what Hashem's doing, there are five punishments here, and these are the five issues that come forth from this type of person. Machtiv acharav. What's written afterward? The Gemara actually dashed in the pasuk, and then a pasuk, two pasukim later. Now the Gemara is going back to the pasuk in between these two pasukim. It says, what's going to happen? Lachain. Here, chiva she'ol nafsha. That she'ol, the Adam opened up its, opened wide its mouth, ufara piha, and widened its mouth, vichok, without measure. Vayarad hadara, vahamona, and its glory, and its multitudes, ushe'ona, and its tumult, right? Valeiz ba. They are reveling in it, meaning that it's reveling in all that it's swallowing. All these people that act in this manner will be swallowed in their revel into the Sheol. All right, so that ends the section about the Shira during the time of, or Nitzbata Lashir from the time of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Mishnah said, Mishimetu Nevi'im Rishonim. Once Nevi'im Rishonim passed away, there was no longer the Urim V'Tumim. Who are the Nevi'im Rishonim? So, Ma Nevi'im Rishonim. Am Rav Huna, Zeh David, Shmuel, Ushlomo. That you have David, Shlomo, and Shmuel were the early Nevi'im. So, Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, B'mei David, Zimnin Salik, V'Zimnin Lo Salik. Already in the time of David, the Urim Tumim was not always accessible. That it was, you know, there were times it didn't work. How do we know that? Shari Shal'ol Tzaduk. This is when David runs away from Avshalom during Merit Avshalom. He's running away from Avshalom. They leave and they take the Aron out of Yerushalayim to follow David, and David sends them back. They ask what to do. So it says there that Tzadok asked the Urim V'Tumim v'altalo, and it responds to him. V'shal Avyatar v'lo altalo. Avyatar asked the Urim V'Tumim, it does not respond to him. Right. So the Gemara in other places mentions that this was Avyatar lost the Kohuna Gedolah. And then Tzadok was now appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. I mean, he lost his right to be the Kohen Gadol. But over here, the Gemara is learning that, or the way that it seems that Rav Nachman is learning, is that in the time of David, that certain people were able to get the Urim Tumim to work, and certain were not. I mean, that it was not always reliable. So already it had deteriorated at that point, and then after them, it did not exist. Shneamar, because these are the Pesukim in Shmuel Bet, Vayal Avyatar, right? Avyatar went up with the Aron, and he went to ask the Aron, and he does not get a response. Meiti Rabba Bar Shmuel. It says, right, Vayihi, in Dira Yom, it says, Vayihi Tidrosh Elukim, Kol Yim, oh, it's really, Bimei Zichar Yahu. So this is talking about in the time of Uziyahu, that as long as Zichar Yahu was alive, right, that they were Doresh Elukim. They followed the way of Hashem. So what is Doresh Elukim? That they asked from Hashem. What do you ask from Hashem? You ask the Urim V'Tumim. Hamevin Birot Elukim. One who understands when Hashem wants to show something. My love. So what does it mean, Lidrosh Elokim and Lirot Belokim, right? That is, Be'urim V'tumim. Versus Lo, B'Nevi'im. No, you can have different, there's different ways to access Hashem. You can access Hashem through the Urim V'tumim, you can access Hashem through Nevi'im. So it says, Koyme Zechariyahu, Amevin B'Yirot Elokim, who understood the message of Hashem, that is, Derech Nevu'ah, not Derech the Urim V'tumim. So Tashma. Mishchara Beit HaMikdash Rishon Batlu Arei Migrash U'Pasku Urim V'Tumim U'Pasak Melech Mibeit David. So when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that the Arei Migrash, which are the Arei Levi'im, were Nitvatel, Paskur Meritumim, which is obviously way after the time of David, Shlomo, and Shmuel, that was the time that the Urim and Tumim were lost, Pasak Melach Beit David, right, the Malchus Beit David was stopped at that point. V'im Lach Shach Adam Lomar, and if someone questions you and says, well, what about in Ezra? It says in Ezra, when they are enumerating the people go up to Bavel, or come up from Bavel to go back to Yerushalayim, over there it says they had some kohanim that they could not prove their lineage. So over there it says, Vayomer Tirshato, right, some sort of appointee, some sort of government official, Lahem, Asher Le'achlu Mikodesh HaKodeshim, you may not eat of the Kodesh HaKodeshim because you cannot prove that you are kohanim. Adamot Kohen Le'urim Vitumim. Until we have a Kohen asking the Urim Vitumim. So what does it sound like? It sounds like they had the Urim Vitumim available. They just needed to ask the Urim Vitumim to find out if these were qualified Kohanim. He says, no. Amar lo, kadam omer lechaveo achiyachyu meitim, feyavo Mashiach ben David. I mean, it wasn't that he meant in the immediate future. He says, basically, you guys are out until donkeys fly. Basically, you know, meaning that nothing until the Tchias HaMeitim and until Mashiach ben David comes, there's nothing to talk about because we can't ask the Urim Vitumim. There's no way to prove or to verify your Kohanic descendancy, right? Or you're being a descendant of the Kohanic line. So now, if that's the case, how do we explain who the Nevi'im Rishonim are? They're the latter Nevi'im. So the Nevi'im that are Shayach to Bayit Sheni, those Nevi'im there was no Urim Mitum with. But the Nevi'im that were associated with Bayit Rishon, there was still an Urim Mitumim during the Bayit Rishon. The Tarabano Mishimetu Chagai Zachariah Malachi Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi Yisrael. When Chagai and Zechariah and Malachi passed away, there was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh in Yisrael. Even though there was no Ruach HaKodesh, there was still Bat Kol, which is a lower form of revelation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? They were learning in the Beit Guria, right, the attic of Beit Guria in Yericho. Not Aleim Bat Kol min Hashemayim v'amra, Yesh b'chem Adam Achad, Shorei Shetishrei Shechina Lav, there's one here that should have the Shechina be shown on him, just that his generation is not worthy of it. Lakach nitnu, ra'ui lakach, his generation is not ra'ui for it. Natnu einehem b'Hillel HaZaken. They all looked towards Hillel HaZaken, because Hillel HaZaken was a tzaddik and very humble. Ukshemet, when he passed away, hispidu, hey chassid, hey anav. This man is a chassid and anav. Talmido shel Ezra, the student of Ezra. Meaning that referring back to Ezra, that the Shekhinah was Shoran Ezra, he was a Navi. So Hillel HaZaken was Ra'ui to be the equivalent of, or to be a Talmud of Ezra, but his generation was not Ra'ui Lekach. B'shum pa'am acheret, hayu mesubim aliyah b'yavne, natan lehem bat kol min ha-shamayim v'amra, yesh lechbechem adam achad, shroi shishre Shekhinah alav, hoshein doro zakayin lekach. Same exact thing. They're in Yavna, in the attic in Yavna, and over there it says that there's one among you who is ra'oi to have the Shekhinah shown him, just the generation is not worthy. Not knowing him, but Shmuel HaKatan. They turned their eyes to Shmuel HaKatan. Now, Shmuel HaKatan was renowned for his humbleness. The Gemara in Sanhedrin describes over there two stories. One was with Rav Gamliel, that was Mekadesh, he was going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. And they counted up, and they found there were too many people in the Aliyah. There were too many people there, and Rav Gamliel was makpid that only people who would be Mekadesh the Chodesh should be up there. And Shmuel HaKatan was a bucky in being Mekadesh the Chodesh. So Rav Gamliel says, whoever doesn't belong here should leave. And you know who got up and left? It was Shmuel HaKatan who got up and left. Even though it was clear that he wasn't him, that was the wrong person there, but to protect against embarrassing someone else, even though he was the most ra'oi to be there, he left. That's one. And number two, the case is with Rebbe. Rebbe says that Gum starts to give shir. And he says that someone here ate garlic and his breath stinks of garlic. Whoever it is that's breath stinks of garlic should leave. So who got up? Shmuel HaKatan. Even though he had onion and garlic, he got up and left in order to basically, he took the hit for everybody else. He didn't want to embarrass anybody else, so he took the hit in those cases. That was the anvuntunato, the humbleness of Shmuel HaKatan. And he was also... Right, so there the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes that the rest of the Talmidim, I think, left with him. So that he was not alone in leaving. That they were, it seems that they were upset at what Rebbe had done. All right, and the Shmuel, all right, he was also the one who established when they needed to establish the bracha of Lamal Shinim, right? They called upon Shmuel HaKatan to do it because he was the right person to do it. Ukshemet, his bidu, hey anav, hey chassid, tamido shel Hillel. Right? So again, he is an anav, a chassid, the tamid of Hillel. And Hillel was the tamid of Ezra. Vafu amar b'shat mitato. So at the time of his death, he had some like ruach nevuah that came to him. It says, Shimon v'Yishmael l'chorva. Right? Shimon and Yishmael will be, you know, killed by the sword. And that we know from, this is the Asara Haruge Machut, when they throw the lottery to kill the first two, right? That's Shimon, right? Of Shimon Gamaliel and Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol. It's interesting. I'll point it out to here. I'm not exactly sure what Rashi is after. It seems to me almost a mistake in Rashi. But it says over here, Rashi says, Shimon v'Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon Shaya Nasi, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Shaya Kohen Gadol, Sharagtam Machut Yavan. That the kingdom of Yavan killed him. And it's clear that they didn't live at the time of the Machut Yavan. Number two is that you're going to see in a second, the rest of the items that Shmuel HaKatan mentions are clearly, and Shmuel HaKatan himself lives during the Roman period, but they are all the part of the Asara Haruge Malkut, which is really during the Hadrianic Decrees, which is probably, you know, in the late Tanaic period, right? Late Tanaic, early Amoraic period. So, I don't know what Rashi means by saying Yavan here. I'm just pointing it out to you. V'chavrohi l'katla. And the rest of his friends will be killed. So who are his friends? So we know who got killed. There's Rabbi Akiva who got, right, raped. Then there was Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradion that was nisrap the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba that was killed with the spears. Bashar Amal, the Bizat. The rest of the nation will be plundered. Ve'akan Sagin and Great Sarot Atidin Lemete Alama. Great Sarot will come on the nation. So he's predicting basically the end, what would happen in the Roman era. Ve'af al Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba bikshu lomar hei chassid ve'anav. About Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, they also want to say this. The story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was that the Romans had been nigzar, again, during the Adrianic period, that you were not allowed to carry on smicha anymore. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava goes ahead, and against the Roman decree, goes ahead and gives smicha. And he sees the Romans coming, and he gives smicha anyway. He's too old to run away from them. So he gives smicha to the students, tells them to run, and he stays there, and the Romans come, and they made him into a sieve. Meaning that's what the lumbiot, it was pierced by daggers or darts or spears, and to the point where he was made like a sieve. So this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So they want to say about him, hey, chassidei anav, elo shenitrafa sha'ah, it was not the appropriate time, because why? What was the problem? She'im aspidim aruge malchut, that you can't give a hesped for those that are killed by the government. So Rashi says, it's me'imat ha'melech, because the fear of the king, right? Because the king, they killed him, so how can you lefikach, right? Michu bi'adam, they won't allow you to give a hesped for them. I mean, this. The hesped implies that this is a good person or a eulogy, but part of the punishment of Aruge Malchus was that they were not entitled to such a eulogy. All right now, the Mishnah continued, Mishachara Beit HaMikdash Batel HaShamir. Right, the Shamir was no longer around. So now, Tan Rabbanan, what is the Shamir? Shamir, Shabo Banah Shlomo at Beit HaMikdash. Shamir was used by Shlomo to build the Beit HaMikdash. Shenemar, Vabayit Bihi Vanoto, Evan Shlema, Masa Nivna. So when they built the Beit HaMikdash, there were stones, right? Evan Shlema, they were whole stones. Masan Ivna, quarried whole. They came out quarried whole. And the truth is that the rest of the pasuk is more relevant, which says that there were no metallic objects used on no hammers and chisels to be heard inside of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, Advarim Kichtavam, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that was literal. They didn't chisel them. They took the stones from the quarry, straight off of the quarry. When they quarried it out, they took it in that shape and they put it into the base of Mikdash. Can you really say that was true? The Lok Vanemar, it says in the next parak in Malachim, it says, Gola Avanim Yakarot, these are precious stones, right? Migora Rot Bemagera, filed down by a file. So it's clear that they were filing the stones, they were smoothing out the stones to place them into the building. In Kay Matamalor Lonishma Babait Vivanato, that they didn't hear any sounds of metal or tools when they were building the base of Mikdash. They used to fix them by the quarry. They used to smooth them out. They make the rocks properly. And they brought them in and they placed them straight into Mikdash. They didn't do any more work on them once they were brought into the Mikdash. So Amar Rabbi Nirim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Bavnei Mikdash. The words of Rabbi Yehuda make sense by the Avnei Mikdash, that they took them exactly like they were quarried from the wall and they put them in, from the quarry and they placed them straight in. V'divrei Rabbi Nechemia Bavnei Beito. But when it came to the stones of Shlomo HaMelech's house, then it was more appropriate that metal was used on them or they were filed down. That made sense that they were done outside and then brought in later. Now, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Shamir Lamayato. What was the purpose of the Shamir? I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, You need the shamir to cut the rock, because you didn't have any metallic objects being used to clean the rock or to smooth the rocks out, so you had the shamir that did it. Now, but according to Rav Nechemia, that they actually did chisel it out outside the city and then bring it in, then what's the point of having this shamir? So that the Gemara says, Rav Nechemia shamir l'mayato, mibarli k'tetani, you need it for the price. Avanim alalu, inkot v'imotam b'dio. So these avanim we're talking about here are the avnei miluim that go on the shoulders of the Kohen, right, that have the, what, they have the names of the shvatim that are written on them. So you can't write them with dio, you can't write ink with ink on them. Why? Mishum dechtei pituchei chutam. Pituchei chutam implies, what, that they were engraved somehow. Vein misartin aleihem, bizemo, you can't carve with a knife or a chisel, mishum shnemar bim milo atam, that they have to be whole, the rocks have to be whole. Elo kotev aleihem dio, you write the words or the letters in ink, umar aleihem shamir, and then you let the shamir go on that, mibachutz, vein nikvaot meleihem, and with the shamir they crack by themselves. Just like a teina that's on the, that ripens. When it ripens on the tree, and it's in the summertime, it ripens, it expands to the point where it cracks. Right? It's not that it's, the crack is not an indication of something missing from the fig. It's an expansion of the fig itself so that there's a place missing. Or the same thing like a field during the rainy season that opens up and cracks. Opens up, and it's not missing anything. So again, this idea that the rocks, when you place the shamir on them, the rocks were split open to the point, or carved open to the point where they showed the carving without losing anything from the rock, without chiseling out anything from the rock, and that was done by the shamir. So what about the shamir? Tanur Rabbanan, shamir zeh briyato kiseora. Its creation, or its size is like that of a barley seed. It was created by the original creation. And nothing can stand its way. I mean, it's, you know, it's the equivalent of a diamond. It can go through anything. But well, if it can go through anything, how do you keep it? Right? So that says, you wrap it up in, not sponges, but wool, right? Cloth, wool cloth. And they place it into a lead kli, mleya subei seorim, full of unprocessed barley. So for whatever reason, that was a secure. They have a similar type of in the Gemara in Yoma and in Sanhedrin. When Beis Din put away the Yetzer Hara, then they closed it up. It says they put it into some sort of, also again, some sort of lead enclosing. So it seems to be that lead was viewed as an enclosure that was unbreakable or unpenetrable. Amar Rebbe Ami, Mishchara Beit Mikdash Rishon B'Teila Shira Paranda or Parnada Husuchit Levana. From the time that the Mikdash Rishon was destroyed, there was no longer any silk from Parnada and white glass. Tanya Ami Hochiv, another brace, it's a similar thing. Mishchara Mikdash Rishon Batla Shira. Shira Parnada, Zuchit Levana, Verechiv Barzal, and the metal chariots, or the iron chariots, which is interesting. I'm not sure why the iron chariots disappeared at the time that the Mikdash disappeared, but they seem to draw a correlation between the destruction of the Mikdash and the iron chariots. Vishamim, Af Yayin Karush, Abam Sneer, even coagulated wine that came from Sneer, Hadomeh Kigulei Duvila, which was similar to pressed fig cakes. So that type of wine, or these specialties were not, or delicacies were not available once the Mikdash HaRishon was destroyed. Now again, we said over here, I mean, Nofet Sufim, right, that they also destroyed. What was Nofet Sufim? My Nofet Sufim, Amarav Solet Shitzafa Agebe Nafe, that it's the solet, the flower that floats on the sieve. The Dome Elisa Shinilosha B'Dvash B'Shemen, it's like a dough that was kneaded with honey and oil, meaning that the flour was so rich that it was unable to go through the sieve. Meaning it got stuck on the sieve because it was so rich, and the flour itself, the quality of the flour is so good and so rich that it tastes as if it had honey and oil in it. V'levi Amar, Shtei Kikarot HaNidbakot V'Tanur, if you would place the way they used to cook bread in their day, but they used to take dough and plaster it to the side of the walls of the oven, and then it would cook in the oven. So if you put one loaf on each side, tofchol to both, that's when we go to the zoo. And before the Mikdash was destroyed, they used to expand to the point that they would touch each other. I mean, there was a bracha in the Isa. And there, that was eliminated once the Mikdash was destroyed. Rabbi Shuvan Levi Amar, Ze Dvash Haba Minat Tzifin. Right, that is Dvash that comes from Minat Tzofim. That's Dvash that comes from the Tzofim. My Mashma, how do you know that Dvash Minat Tzofim? The Gnatar game, right, the over here on the side, the Mr. Shas changes it to Rav Yosef. We discussed in other places Rav Yosef who had become blind. I was an expert in Targum, so it makes sense that Kimitar game Rav Yosef. Kamad Nitzan Davriata, right? The way that the bees live or feed. Vishaitan Birome Alma, and they float, they fly in the high places. Umatyan Dubsha Miisbeitura, and they bring their honey from the herbs or the grasses of the hills. So you see that the bees live up on the high places. That's Sofim. So the dvash, that's the honey that comes from the high places. Tanan Hatam, we have a Mishnah. We saw this together in Nazir, actually. We saw this together in Nazir. This Mishnah is quoted from Achshirim. Kol Nitzok Tahor. Any connection, meaning that if you are pouring from a Tahor vessel to a Tameh vessel, a liquid, when you're pouring that liquid, even though there is now a stream that connects the upper vessel to the lower vessel, then the Tahor, the Nitzok, that Nitzok is Tahor, and it does not affect the upper vessel, that liquid in the upper vessel. Chutz, Midvash, Zifim, Vatzapichim. Except for Dvash Zifim, this Dvash from Zifim, whatever Zifim we'll see in a second, Vatzapichim, and these, whatever, very sweet or rich things. These are items that are very viscous, and since they're viscous, when you're pouring them, and you pull back to stop pouring, that they do not continue to pour out, but they recoil into the vessel that's above. So when they recoil into the vessel above, they now make the upper vessel tameh. So these two are excluded from that idea that kol nitzok is tahor. Rashi says, my zifim. What does dvash zifim mean? Am Rabbi Yochanan dvash shim zifin bo. It's a dvash that they forge with. So what's the forgery over here? So Rashi says, shim zifin bo are the shakranim, the liars, v'hochei rachil, and the peddlers. That what they do, it's so thick. This dvash is so thick, they're able to mix in wine and water into it. Meaning basically to pad it with wine and water in order to make it look like it's still all dvash, but they're really diluting it down and they're selling it as dvash. Veresh Lakish Amar, Hashem Mikomo. No, Zifim is the place where it came from. Dichtiv in Yoshua, it says Zif Vatelim Uvealot. Zif is one of the names of the places enumerated in Yoshua. Kiyotze B'davar HaTomer, Bivo HaZifim, Vayomru L'Shaul Alo David Nistara Imanu. So the Zifim came to Shaul and tell him that David is hiding out with us. My Zifim? What does it mean, the Zifim? Sam Rabbi Yochanan Bnei Adam, my Zifim Deverihem. People who are tricksters, liars, forgerers, meaning that here they're turning in David to Shaul. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Oshem Mikomam. No, they were from Zif. Kirchtiv, Zif to tell him, Uva Alot. So again, that the Zifim, Dvash Zifim, is either from the place or the Vash. The quality, thickness of that Dvash is so high that they people are mizayef with it. They cheat with that by diluting it. Right now it says in the Mishnah, Pasku Anshe Amana. There were no longer people who were believers in Hashem. What does that mean? Amar Yitzchak, Elu Bnei Adam, She'ma'aminim BaKadosh Baruch Hu, that believe in Hashem. What does it mean to believe in Hashem? Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, Kol Mi She'esh Lo Pat B'Solo. Anyone who has a loaf of bread in his basket, Omer Ma'ochal Lamachar, what will I eat tomorrow? Einu Elo Mikatznei HaEmunah. That is a lack of faith. I mean, if you have what to eat today, you don't worry about tomorrow, right? You believe or you're ma'amin that Hashem will provide for you tomorrow. Vainu de Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv. What does it mean? Ki mi vaz, leyom ktanot. Who is the one that scorns the small day? Here it's talking about in Zechariah, about Zerubbabel coming to rebuild the base of Mikdash. That it starts on a small day. So who's going to scorn that small day when it all began? Mi garam l'tzadikim shit bazbeis shulchanan l'atid avo. There the Mary playing on the word baz, it's bazbeis. What caused the tzadikim to lose their shulchanam in the world to come? Kitanot shayabahan. What's kitanot? The smallness that was in them. What does the smallest mean? That they're emunah and Hashem. Shalim minu ba'kadosh baruch hu. That they didn't believe in a kadosh baruch hu. They were ktanei amanah. Rav Amar Elu Ktanei Bnei Rishei Yisrael. These are the youngsters, the children of the Rishayim in Yisrael. Shim Mevazvizin Dinaveihem La'atid Lavo. That they're Mevazvez, the din of their parents, in the future. What is that? Amrin Lepanav, Ribono Shalom, Mechar Sha'ata Atid Liparemehem, Lama Yikita Shineem Bam. So if you were, I mean, what should happen to the Rishayim La'atid Lavo? They get punished in Gehenim. So what did Hashem? Hashem punishes them by taking away their children in their lifetime. So if he punishes them taking away their children in a lifetime, so when they come to the din, these children stand up and say to Hashem, what are you doing? Why are you punishing our fathers again? If you already punished them, be'olam hazeh, meaning that you took us away from them in olam hazeh, that was enough tzar, enough punishment already that there's no need to punish them again. That really means, kivaz liyom ktanot. The ktanot are able to scorn or to chase away the din in gehenem latid lavo for their parents who were rishayim. Okay, we'll stop here.